Achilles rose in surprise, and taking both our hands required us to rest, then placed before us all that a guest should have. We were refreshed by food and drink, and thereupon I spoke, inviting both to go with us. Most heartily you wished to go. And now your fathers both repeatedly enjoined your duties on you. The old man Peleus urged his child Achilles to do none but great feats, to be distinguished above the rest. As for Menoetius, the son of Actor, these were his words to you: "My child, Achilles is a higher being by his immortal blood, but you are older. He is more powerful, but your part should be to let him hear close reasoning and counsel, even commands. He will be swayed by you for his good." These were your father's words, although you now forget them. Ah, but now, late though it is, tell all this to Achilles, hoping he may come round. Who knows what power may help a plea from you to stir his heart? There's sweetness in persuasion by a friend. If in his own mind he is keeping clear of an oracle, if her ladyship, his mother, declare to him some prophecy from Zeus, all right, then let him send you into battle. Let the battalion of Myrmidons follow you. Victory light for Danaans you may be, and let him give you all his beautiful armor to wear in battle. Taking you for him, the Trojans may retire from the field and let the young Achaeans have a respite, exhausted as they are. War gives brief rest. You and your soldiers, fresh against tired men, might easily throw them back upon the town, away from our encampment and our ships. At this Patroclus's heart bounded within him, and he went running back along the shipways toward Achilles. Just as he passed the ship of great Odysseus, where the assembly ground and place of justice were, and God's altars, there came Eurypylus, the wounded man, Eurymon's noble son, struck by the arrow, limping out of combat. Sultry sweat ran down his shoulders and his face. Dark blood still trickled from his wound. But he limped on, unshaken spirit.